You are now listening to Fucks Given, the one where we interview Kitty Underhill.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hey, girl. Oh, welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Please tell us and the listeners a little bit about yourself and who you are.
So my name is Kitty Underhill. I am a plus size model and I'm a speaker, presenter, and my main thing is that I'm a body acceptance advocate. So A lot of the work I do online is about kind of getting people to question how they feel about their bodies and other bodies, you know, trying to get them to challenge what, you know, getting them to unlearn what they've learned about their bodies as well. Mm-hmm. I think that something, you know, we don't really think about a lot is why we feel the way we do about our bodies and, you know, why we assume that our bodies are bad or not good enough. Like, good enough according to who? It's a whole load of nonsense, which I'm sure I'll go into a lot later because I can rant about it for hours. So I've been really lucky to do kind of panels, talks. I did my first workshop a couple of, about a month ago, talking about, like, body acceptance with some people. Oh, thank you. And it was, I'm just trying to, like, spread the knowledge of, like, self-acceptance, self-love. And even if you're not quite at the self-love point yet, just acceptance is fine too. So I guess that's me in a nutshell.
Super helpful.
Oh, thanks.
We first noticed you on Instagram and we just loved all the photos that you were posting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much.
Banging.
They look cute.
Banging.
Oh, stop. Thank you. I try. Me and my tripod and my, oh my God, the ring light, best thing I ever bought.
You take all the photos yourself?
Not all of them. So, because I like model as well, obviously.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff I do with like photographers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've been trying to kind of take more self-portraits as kind of like a self-love exercise, which has been really nice, you know, because I guess a lot of the time, I think it's great, like photographers, like seeing how I am through their lens, but then also kind of seeing myself through my own lens. And especially because like, I guess in the past year or so, I've been doing a lot of really good work with my counsellor, but it's been like quite intense work, like revisiting a lot of, you know, my kind of troubles with like food, my own body image, because I guess a lot of what I do is, you know, kind of sharing my own kind of recovery as well, because I've kind of been coming to terms with the fact that, you know, it wasn't just that I felt bad about my body, but like I wasn't well. So I guess I'm trying to get myself back into the habit of being a bit more accepting of myself rather than just being like, here's my message for everyone else. I got to turn that, you know, take my own damn advice, you know? So in the past kind of year or so, I've gained a bit of weight and, you know, it was quite triggering for a while. So now taking these kind of portraits of myself has been really nice because I'm like, yeah, my fat's cute. Oh, I love my rolls. Like, look at this. I've got new stretch marks. Like, it's so nice to kind of reclaim what I always thought was a bad thing and make it into just a cool thing that I can accept.
Yeah. Back when I was at college, most of my work was self-portraits, and it was just like, it was such a strange practice of just like learning to love like every part of your body. Even when you're doing a painting and then you're just like even like the creases and stuff, you're just like the eye bags, you're just like doing everything, and at the end you get this beautiful piece of art and you're just like, that's me.
That's so awesome. And especially because like, I guess like having your photograph taken, even when you're like on a night out or whatever, you're like, oh, I gotta get into the most flattering pose ever, and I'll put my butt out, make sure my tummy looks thin, or you know, whatever. Like,
that's literally
it's something
me.
We all know, but it's something we all learn, isn't it? And then but like, just take a photo of yourself as you are is like, I think that's quite a big and almost like revolutionary
act. It's powerful.
For sure.
And we forget that we're the only ones in the entire world that sees our own faces and our own bodies as much and more than anyone else in the entire world. And we think that everyone else sees what we see. And it's just totally the opposite. No one notices anywhere near what we notice on ourselves.
Absolutely.
We just have to keep reminding that we're, you know, the only person that sees us for who we are our own eyes. Everyone else sees this beautiful person and not all the flaws and all the shit and all the changes and all the stuff that's going in our minds.
Yeah. And like, what is a flaw anyway? Like, it's something that we've been taught for such a long time. Like,
true.
The wildest thing I ever learned was like, oh, well, many wild things I've learned. But like, I was doing some research into like cellulite. And basically, cellulite just, no one gave it, wait, can I swear?
Yes.
No one gave a shit about it, basically, until kind of like around the 1950s and 60s, where Vogue basically released this big article that said cellulite, the fat you can't get rid of, or something that. And then from there, the cellulite, anti-cellulite industry boomed. Like, before then, people were like, cool, I've got ripples on my thighs. Mm-hmm. But now look at, like, I was in Primark the other day, and they're selling cellulite rollers for £3. It's a piece of shitty plastic that doesn't do anything. It's just a load of nonsense. Yeah. Exactly. But like, so many people are making money off of, you know, our self-hate.
Insecurities.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, that's not just the way it is. We've been taught that and loads of people profit from that. So I think it's something we all need to start being conscious of, you know?
Let's move on to talk about, what do you think of the stigma surrounding the number and how many people that you sleep with?
I just, it's like, it's just another way of like controlling people, isn't it? Like, like let people just live and fuck, you know what I mean? Like, I remember at school, like, you know, I went to a girls' school and it was very much like, oh my God, that person's had sex. Wow. But like, now it's like, oh, you fucked. Yes, get that dick. Like, do what you want. Like, I just like, I mean, I think there's still so much stigma attached to it. And I think that sucks. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a way of like, you know, dictating someone's value, but especially like, you know, cis women's value is always based on kind of like how, you know, if they've slept with too many, then they're what, you know, and that's just, it's just a load of nonsense. Like, you know, Yeah. I mean, like, I just, you know, it's 2019. Are we really still being like, oh, but body counts? Like, no. Like,
is it just a young thing? I mean, all of us, when we've spoken about it, everyone said it always starts off at school. Mm, is it because we're young and we're not taught and it's just not knowing life and just being like, yeah, you can like fuck a lot of people.
Where does it come from? Like, who made this up?
Who's the asshole who's so judgmental and was like, oh, you're having sex with people? How dare you enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know my sex ed was like, you know, as I said, I went to a girls' school and like, it was very kind of like, well, this is what gonorrhea looks like and this is what crabs looks like and you're gonna die. And you're like, oh, God.
Why do you need to know what it looks like?
I know, in it. Like, I've seen enough, like, of this stuff. Like, it's just, it's scare tactics, isn't it? So I guess, like, if you're not teaching people that, like, it's fine to sleep with people, then you're gonna feel that kind of stigma around it. True. Especially if people aren't having, like, open and honest conversations about sex, about intimacy and that sort of thing. And you know what? It's actually, you know, and it's fine to have STIs. Like, you know, you get a cold, that's an infection. Like, you get gonorrhea, that's an infection too.
I've had an STI.
Yeah,
I've had an STI.
Yeah, and it's fine. Like, you know, we've just got to, you know, sex as a subject has been so stigmatized for so long. We just need to, you guys are doing an amazing job of like breaking down that stigma. And I'm all the respect and amazingness to you both.
Thank you.
And like, you know, these are the conversations we need to start having so that people don't feel judged about how many people they slept with or whatever, you know?
Fuck number one.
The first fuck.
Okay. All right. Oh my God. It's so funny. Because basically, I guess, I don't know if you're going to ask me this later or now, but like, I've only ever slept with one person, and that is my childhood sweetheart.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and like, it's, you know, it's not something that's spoken about a lot. And I remember like going to uni and there was one other person who was still with their person. And I was like, oh, wow, I always thought it was just me. Like, I saw so many people like getting together and going through breakups and all that sort of thing. But like, you know, I feel very lucky that we're still very much in love and still together. Like, that's when we got together when we were like 15, 16.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Aww. It's our 10-year anniversary this year. Fuck. So I'm like, I know.
That's amazing.
Thank you. So I guess like, you know, my first fuck was very like, I remember it was actually his birthday and we'd only like kind of just got together. And I was like, okay, so because we were both like emo kids at the time. So I got him like a matching like zebra edgy earring. I was like, here's this. God. Also, and then we were like making out, fooling around, whatever. And then he kind of looked at me and was like, I have condoms. And I was like, am I going to do this now? Oh my God, I'm going to do it. Oh my God, I'm going to do it. And I was like, okay, fuck it. Yeah, let's do it. And like, for a first time, you know, it was great. Like, I came and I was like,
what?
Wow.
No.
I know. Wild. I was like, yes, Nick, this
we've
is going to go great.
We've not heard that before.
Yeah. It was
a
great time.
We know of it. We know it happens. But we've never heard it from someone's mouth.
Yeah, I was very lucky. And like, from there, but then, you know,
How did you orgasm?
So I was on top. I think that was what helped because like, of the whole like clitoral stimulation thing going on, because like I'm very much clitoral? A clitty very much a clitty.
Wow.
Actually, for a while, like, so obviously clitty rhymes with kitty and I had a couple people use that as a nickname and I was like, guys, it was either clitty or shitty, so I was like, oh well, you know,
go for clitty.
Clitty's better. Clitty. So yeah, I was lucky in that. I mean, not that either of us knew what we were doing.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. It's like, how did you know to clitorally stimulate yourself?
I was like, I was always one of those people who was like I was very masturbate-y for like, I can't remember like when it started, but I was very much like, I remember just being like quite young and like in a family pool. You know when pools have jets?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, hello, what is this? And then so like I was always kind of aware that that was like a thing. And then I guess like, I think also as well that he was kind of like, because I think he was like, let's do a doggy. And I was like, let's try this way. And it, it worked out pretty well. So I think I was quite, I guess, a success story.
Yeah. That's really incredible to hear. Yeah. I love that though. It's like, let's do doggies.
Yeah, that's funny.
I know. When it's such a boy thing,
isn't
it?
He was like, try and do every single position you've seen before.
Yeah, and like, a part of me was like, I want to be the cool girl who does the cool positions. Yeah. Like, you know, like, because you want to be the kind of,
crazy,
especially when you're like 16 as well, and that's where you've learned about sex a lot of the time, and you're like, oh, this is what I should be doing, right? But I was like, no, let's do this. And then we did do doggy, obviously, because that's a great position. But like, we started off with the good stuff, and then we went with, you know, like,
well, how do you, what position is your go-to now?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I love being on top. And so many.
Because that's the thing. It's more, so, you know, you try all these crazy positions and then you kind of end up falling into one that you both really enjoy.
Yeah, I think both of us really love spooning. Yeah. Like, that's a great one. Like, with your leg in the air. Like, I'm sure there are, like, all these technical names for them.
We do that
like,
all the time,
it's a good one.
It's a lazy fuck.
And it's great,
it's a sleepy fuck.
Like, you know, have you ever seen that picture of, like, Victoria Beckham and she's, like, texting on a sofa and she's got her leg, like, vertically in the air? Like, I'm just like that. I'm, like, I'm doing yoga more at the moment. I'm like, bitch, my leg is up. I'm ready. It's great. So, like, usually that kind of thing. Do love doggy, not gonna lie. Like,
really?
Basically, my wardrobe like kind of faces my bed, and it's got mirrors on it. So I'm like, let's doggy this way.
A little bit American Psycho.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, sometimes. To be fair, sometimes I'll catch my boyfriend looking in the mirror, and I'm like, no, look at me. Like, I mean, you look exceptionally hot as well, but like,
you're like, hello. I'm looking at me. You should look at me.
Fuck two.
The last fuck.
Oh, well, that was a good one. So I'd literally just come back from holiday and it was the first time I'd seen my boyfriend since I got back from holiday.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Nice.
Like, I was cooking and like, he was like, oh, I'm just gonna lie down. I was like, just say it with your chest that you want to fuck, okay? Like, I literally went in there, got on top of him. I was like, we're fucking now. And then we went back into the kitchen and I was like, okay, like, eat me out right here. And I was like, oh, it was amazing. Especially like, you know that I miss you sex? Like, oh, I really missed you.
Love,
like,
miss,
oh,
you
it's
sex.
My favorite, like, top five sexes. Like,
so good.
Like, I'm trying to think of the other four now, but it's definitely in the top
you
five.
You almost like, have that like raw passion that you had at the beginning of your relationship,
sure.
Just because you're just like, you're missing each other so much. There's like that passion, just like, yes, we're finally back together.
Oh, it was great.
And it breaks the monotony of must have sex this way, and it,
true,
you need the spontaneity.
True. Like, having time apart is actually so beneficial for your sex life.
Definitely.
I mean, you've been together what, nearly 10 years now.
Yeah.
How does your sex life differ now from when it started off?
So I think, like, because basically the guy I was with kind of before him, like, he was just so shitty to me, and like, a lot of it was like, you know, like, basically he would like send pictures of like skinny models to me and be like, why don't you look like that? And I remember, like,
what?
So we met on MySpace, bit of a throwback.
And, oh my god, MySpace.
You know, and we finally met in person, and like, the thing is, like, up until that point we were chatting like every day on MSN, another throwback.
MSN.
So cool. Truly, it's so cool. And, I told him everything. I told him how I felt about my body. I told him I felt unconfident, like all these kinds of things. And he basically ended up throwing it back in my face. And he was like, oh, you were bigger than I thought you were going to be.
Jesus.
And like, and yet he still wanted to manipulate me for 2 years. Like, so but because the thing is that I felt so bad about my body that I was like, yeah, you're right. I should look like that. So yeah. I started kind of like, you know, kind of like engaging quite disordered eating behaviors, like I'd try to only eat like one meal a day and like you know, exercise, like do all that kind of stuff to try and fit into his mold.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so I remember we ended up, like, I had my first kiss with this guy and he took me to like this wood and I was like, oh my god, it's so romantic, da, da, da. And he told me that it was because he didn't want anyone to see him with someone who looked like me.
Scandalous. What the fuck?
Yeah, he was fucking hideous.
How old were you guys?
I was when we were like on and off, I was 14 to 16, but he was 17 to 19, so he was a bit older than me.
Jesus Christ.
What a that's actual dickhead.
Yeah, he
Sorry,
was a knob.
I keep blaspheming.
I know.
I mean, you can't really blame it being on young. And we were young back then, even at his age.
Yeah,
but that's
for sure.
That's disgusting behaviour.
I think
like, who fucking brought you up?
No, truly. Like, it was horrible. Yeah. And like, when we were doing sexy stuff and fooling around, I always felt like it was something that, I mean, I wanted to do it with him, but it was very much like something I had to do to almost keep him. Whereas like with Nick, it's amazing because, you know, it was something that the both of us could enjoy together. And it wasn't this weird kind of like power play and power struggle where I felt like I always had to do the most to be good enough for this guy.
That's such a horrible first relationship.
Yeah, it really was. And even now I'm trying to like unlearn the nastiness that he taught me, you know? So
that's deep-seated in there.
Yeah.
He had no idea what he was doing, but he just just fucking destroyed.
Well, this is it. I guess I guess the problem as well is that, you know, that's what society teaches men to look for as well. Like, you know, both of us, I learned that my body wasn't good enough and he just affirmed what I thought.
Yeah.
And he was taught that women are supposed to look this way. So that's what he put onto me.
Yeah. And that's what's attractive in flying quotation marks.
Yeah. And we're all products of this environment that teaches us that beauty and sexiness only looks a certain way. Mm. So of course, you know, he was going through a tough time and stuff. And, you know, I'm trying not to blame him too much for, you know, but it did have a really bad effect on me. So I guess from the beginning of mine and Nick's relationship, it was so nice because I was in a place where, you know, I was loved for me. And I remember like he kissed me in front of like all my friends and I didn't feel like a secret anymore.
Yeah.
Because he would always try and hide me and be like, I don't want anyone to see me with someone who's this size or whatever. You know, me and this other guy would fool around. He would like, we would drive and go to slip roads and then, you know, like,
that's awful.
You know, it was only when I was 16, I was allowed to go to his house.
Jesus.
Whereas Nick was there, you know, being like, this is my girl.
Yeah.
And there was proud. Something so, that's like, just so being loved nice. Out loud was something that was so powerful for me at the time. And even now, it's still so lovely and almost like revolution. I'm getting teary now, but like it meant so much to me at the time and it still does.
That's life changing.
For sure. Mm. And so at the beginning, of course, both of us were learning. Whereas now we both know exactly what we both like. Like I know exactly what to do. Like if I'm just like getting ready and I'm putting on a dress, I'm like, oh, like how does this look? And I know that's it. We're ready to bang because, you know, and he knows exactly what turns me on as well. So the wonderful thing about being together for so long is that you learn about each other like inside and out and we grow up together. We've both changed in really wonderful ways and it's wonderful that we still compliment each other as well. So that's how it's changed. It's changed in a wonderful and beautiful way. It's just evolved rather than changed, you know?
The
more we learn, the more we grow.
And grown up together.
For sure.
Yeah.
Fuck three. The best fuck.
Oh, I was trying to think about this. So my best fuck and I think the fuck that changed me forever, I know that question's coming up, kind of overlap a little bit.
No, that's okay.
So basically, a couple of years ago, so my boyfriend was in Rhodes for a bit. He's Greek. And we both went to Rhodes together. And we had this apartment. And for a very long time, I was like, I know there's some more kinkiness going on in my head that I haven't quite enacted out on yet. So like, I loved being tied up, handcuffs, blindfolded, all that kind of thing. And I was like, no, let's step this up. So I was like, how do you feel about a hostage fantasy? And Nick was like, okay. So we kind of did this thing where I walked up to the door and he like got me from behind and like, you know, hand over my mouth and yes. stuff. I was like, you're coming upstairs, like all this kind of stuff. And I was like, sexy. Oh my God, it was so sexy. And like just carrying on that role play into the bedroom, like wow. tying me up and being like, this is what I'm doing to you and all yeah. this kind of thing.
Role play is so fun.
I love role play. It's so, so fun. Mm. And just from there, I was like, it almost like unlocked something in my head. I think as well yeah. for a while, like, you know, because you're not taught that, you know, kinky stuff is normal as well. It's always this kind of like taboo, very taboo, yeah. fetishized thing that, and it doesn't have to be all the way from 0 to 100, you know, mm. it doesn't have to be whips and chains necessarily. That it's like a spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, I was always thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And then I just realized that, no, this is what I want. And I love this.
Especially yeah. as like a strong, independent, powerful woman. Mm. And knowing that you want to go into something where you are completely submissive and every mm. single stereotype that everybody wants you to be. And yeah, it's like, yeah, I want to be that sexually, yeah. Yeah, but not in, for sure. in real life.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved it. And like, and that really changed things for mm-hmm. me. From there, we've decided to, you know, bring more of that kind of kinky stuff and like role playing and stuff. Nice. Into it. And it's been great. Like, I really enjoy it. So, and that literally went on for like hours. And I was like, this is oh. great. I love this. And you know when like, it's like holiday sex and yes. it's super hot and it's kind of steamy and like, that smell and like the it's all in the air and it was great.
That is incredible. That kidnapping,
so good.
Hostage situation. You know there are services that you can pay for.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
you can be picked up, kidnapped. Like, you know, they'll give you the week, but you don't know yeah. the day.
There's a slut ever documentary on Vice on that.
Is there?
Yeah, that's so it's interesting. Really interesting.
I feel like I've seen Check that somewhere. I remember watching a TV program about it. I think, but a few years, like a while ago, and just thinking, oh, this is a thing.
Yeah,
and you can keep that in the wet bank.
You can pay for extras. Like, I remember reading an article about
no
it.
Way.
And it was like the whole hostage situation, but you could pay for the hero who comes and saves you at the end to basically fuck you.
Excellent.
Yeah. I was like, I don't
know. So having a three-way with your hostage taker and your hero.
Oh my God, that would be divine. Oh, I was like, I wouldn't want the hero. I want the hero to be, you know, killed or murdered in front of my eyes and then fucked by the villains. Like, I'm done.
Bring on the special effects.
Fuck number 4.
The worst fuck. This is hard for you because obviously all your fucks with the same person.
I did talk to him about it before. I was like, you know, I'm going on a sex podcast, right? And he was like, yeah. And I sort of said,
bless him.
Are you sure it's fine for me to talk about this stuff? He's like, yeah, I don't care.
Sweetheart.
I'll be really interested to hear what he says when he listens to it. But I'd say we discussed this question before and both of us said the same thing where basically kind of like early-ish days and we were experimenting with toys. And I bought a cock ring from Ann Summers and we were using it, but he didn't know quite how to use it. So he put it inside me. So he was fucking me with it and then took it off and put it in and then kept fucking.
What?
Yeah, I know. and I sort of said to him, he came and like...
Could you feel it as well? Could you
feel it? Yeah, because it was vibrating.
Oh,
so,
oh my God.
Yeah, so...
Did it get stuck?
Yes.
Oh. No.
So it was kind of too high up for me to kind of try and pull it out. And I sort of said to him...
Oh,
like,
my God.
You know, we both came and I said, do you mind like taking it out? And
you're going to have to go in.
Yeah, I know. And he literally was like fisting me back again, trying to pull this thing out.
Oh,
and I was just
God.
Like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go to A&E and I'm going to be in one of those embarrassing A&E stories where they say, oh my God, this girl had a vibrator stuck in her. And I'm like, thankfully, they got it out. It was fine.
God.
But for like, it was a good like 10 minutes of both of us panicking.
Of course,
like, how are we going to tell our parents? What are we going to do?
Because the more you panic, the worse it gets. Like,
for sure.
Honestly, it's very common for stuff to get stuck inside you, especially tampons and toys, but it's normal. And our vaginas are very, very clever in that they can push them out and they will get them out eventually. The last thing you should do is panic because it tightens everything up and almost makes you suck in harder accidentally. And you just need to do some cool breathing, maybe get in the shower. You need to take your mind off of it for a while because it's not going to harm you or damage you. They are medical grade
depends
silicone.
Depends what it is, though. Like, I think if it's not coming out and it's been like over an hour, maybe then just go to the doctor.
If it's irritating you, yeah. But I've had tampons in for 8 hours. I've forgotten tampons in overnight.
Yeah, that's a common thing.
And
yeah,
We learned from school that it was, you know, you'll get toxic shock and die.
Yeah.
And that terrified me off of tampons for so long. And tampons are fucking great.
Love eco a tampon.
Ones.
Yeah.
Eco ones, guys. Mm. Eco-friendly. And don't flush them down the fucking toilet because it destroys our drains. Please. For fuck's sake.
So we have a section on our podcast where our listeners ask us a sex question. And this week's is, hey, people keep sending me dick pics and I don't want them, but my Snapchat won't let me block them. I'm running out of options. Any idea of what I can do?
Yeah, dick pics are a hard one, especially with Snapchat, because there are loads of like sneaky things that people can do to get around not being reported and to get around sending stuff. And on top of that, I hate that Instagram does it now, but Snapchat, the person can see when you've seen it. So it's almost like they're getting off on the fact that you've seen their hard cock.
We're disgusted by it.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. Dick pics started from Snapchat.
Do they not have like a blurring feature?
Not like,
talk today.
Not like Instagram. Instagram does like a skin detection thing.
Yeah.
Or if it's a contact that you aren't familiar with, if you don't follow them and they don't follow you, or you have a messaging thing that's open, they will block any image, most images that come through anyway. At least with Instagram, you can report, and often or not, they will get removed because dick pics aren't acceptable. It is like flashing somebody.
Yeah. I don't have Snapchat, so I don't know what it does. Like, I don't know how people get away.
It sucks because it's immediate.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have any opportunity to filter anything through.
Yeah.
It's such a failing of social media to just allow this to happen constantly.
Yeah.
Because it is harassment. That's exactly what it is. And you're right. Men are getting off on doing this stuff, and it's not okay.
And women. Women can get off on it too. I know women that just send out pussy pics to, like, or married men, and they're getting off on that shit. Like, you want my pussy, and they just have no idea what the fuck's happening.
It's wild.
It's crazy. Unfortunately, the majority of it is men, and I don't think they're doing it maliciously. I don't think they're going, I'm going to ruin some girl's day today. They're going, oh, clearly I get off on a picture of tits, so clearly girls must get off on a picture of my hard dick, and they want my hard dick. You know, it's anathema, but they haven't been taught correctly. We can't demonize these poor
guys. I don't think
guys.
They understand that, like, immediately. It's just seeing a picture of a random dick, a dick that you don't know. It's not hot.
No, it isn't.
It's not hot.
It's only hot if you know the person.
Yeah.
And it's consensual.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
It's also what it boils down to. A floating dick. There's no, like, body in it. There's no face in it. It's just a horrible dick.
It's like, well done. You have a penis.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very lucky in that I don't get a lot of dick pics, but I remember what... I was actually hanging out with my dad and my uncle, and I was minding my own business. We were having a wholesome dinner, and I checked my Instagram requests, whatever. And this man said, oh, I think this and this about you, whatever, I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But he said, oh, and here's a present for you to show you what I think.
Oh, God.
And I think that is part of, like, what's going through their head, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, they think it's a gift.
Yeah.
They must do.
I appreciate you. Here's my penis.
Yeah, you make me this hard. Thank you.
Yeah, but
and
I don't care how
hard you are, really.
And I saw my boyfriend, I don't care.
Yeah. It's quite sad, really, that these guys just have no idea that... What do you want us to do? Do you want a picture back? I don't know what they're looking for. Are they looking for, oh my God, your dick is so beautiful, let's go out on a date?
Yeah, really. It's, no,
yeah,
it's
that's
almost
never
going to
happen.
It's like, you know, it used to be just men shouting at you from a van. Now it's right in your personal space.
Happens to the good old days of wolf whistling.
It's all repulsive. But it's hard to give advice on this because until Snapchat, Instagram, all of these social media platforms really buckle down on making sure that this is not a practice that's permitted, all you can do is block, block, block.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're your friend... They're not your friend if they're sending you dick pics. They don't respect you, your boundaries, or your consent. So fuck them.
It's completely okay to say, like, I don't want to receive that.
Yeah.
You don't have to be horrible back because most of the time they're not trying to be horrible. Mm. Yeah. They are honestly just miseducated.
Mm. Yeah.
And they just think they're doing the right thing. But with Snapchat, it sounds like your Snapchat's open and public. Mm. You probably, you know, if they are really bothering you, and they shouldn't bother you, it's just like, you know, seeing an advert when you're on a website. Like that, it just, you just got to brush them away.
For this guy, brush them away.
Or explain to them, I don't want to see that. Thank you. Please don't send this to me again. And if they you know, from then on, they keep going.
I don't know, though. I feel like if you open up the conversation, they're just going to send more
shit. Never start. I would never even engage with them. But that's just me.
My advice would be to, if you don't know who the contact is that's sending you something, don't even open the message. Just ignore them. Fucking hell. And this week's sex story is... We'll finish sex, I guess, and I'll stand up and it'll just start up and I'll queef multiple times and so long.
Oh, bless her.
It happens.
We were talking about queefing earlier, weren't we?
Queefing is like so normal and everyone's done it. And I'm actually surprised when somebody hasn't queefed. I'm like,
yeah.
What's happened to your vagina where you don't just like accidentally suck in air? And
it's super surprising though when you haven't done it before, so right?
True. Yeah, yeah. Because it is.
And no one talks about it either. No, people think that I'm the only person this has ever happened to. But you're right. It's so normal.
And it's so deep and loud and it goes on for ages and it's like,
truly.
And a lot of the time, like, we're told we're not supposed to burp and fart, especially in front of someone we're trying to be attracted to.
So that sounds like a fart. So you're just like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. I promise you, this is not a fart.
Yeah. Honestly, my sister's ex thought that a fanny fart, like a queef, was actual gas that our vagina had made.
Wow. No.
There is such a lack of sex education.
Yeah, it is. I was shocking. Like, I was like, what? It's like gas that our yeast makes or bacteria? Like, no, it is. It doesn't work like that.
No. We should have a space like in sex education where kids can just like ask questions about sexual things that have happened to them and just be like, what happens when like why does my body make this sound when sometimes I'm having sex and stuff
or like is it normal when because the chances are it's very normal, it's just that no one's talking about it because there's so much stigma surrounding it.
Someone just needs a teacher to be like, yes, this is completely normal in sex education before people even have to look up things like our YouTube channels and listen to our podcast. Like, you shouldn't like have to learn it through podcasts.
The internet. Yeah,
it's like this should just be knowledge passed down to people because everyone's gonna fuck, most people are gonna fuck, and it's normal.
Yeah, we need a service that specifically deals with sex education because I wouldn't want to put that on a teacher that already has to deal with some ridiculous, rambunctious kids.
And then you have to be forced to do
sex education and like, you know, your shitty pupils lock you in cupboards and ask you things like, have you ever had anal, miss? Yeah. And like, you know, all that kind of shit. Like, that's awful. It needs to be trained professionals that are cool about talking stuff and they can get down with the kids and they can literally just have an actual grown-up adult conversation about sex.
Look, I remember, I mean, our sex ed lessons were few and far between, but the one that always stood out to me was one of our art teachers who was a really cool guy. We were meant to be putting condoms on, you know, those plastic model dildo kind of things. And he sort of said, okay, we're not doing that, but if you've got any questions...
We're not doing that.
Yeah, because I think he was kind of embarrassed about it and thought it was a silly exercise.
What?
But what was interesting was he just kind of made an open forum and said, oh, well, you know, there's a sex clinic down the road. You know, that, you know, just make it very kind of normal and not this, ooh, you know. Actually, I saw a play last night. I saw the new Noughts and Crosses adaptation at Stratford. And I don't know if this is a spoiler for people. Oh, well. I guess the play run ends in a couple of days. So anyway, there's a wait.
I don't want to hear a spoiler.
Oh no. Okay. Basically, there's a saucy scene. That's not a spoiler. And one woman in the audience just goes, oh, and everyone just lost it. And we're like in fits of giggles. And this is, I mean, it's not a problem, but it does say a lot about the kind of conversations around sex that we're having. Yes, they're very kind of titillating and
and you're allowed to laugh at sex. Sex is supposed to be comfortable and funny, and you're allowed to laugh at mistakes, and you're allowed to laugh at queefs. Yeah. As long as you're not sitting there going, ugh, that's disgusting. Ugh, what is that? Why is your fanny farting? You know, you just have to be like, that was hilarious. Your penis did that and my vagina made those flappy noises.
Yeah. Whenever I end up queefing, me and my boyfriend just laugh about it. Yeah. We're just like,
it is jarring, but you gotta laugh.
Yeah, you do. You just do. Well, it's time to fuck off, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm so sorry to say this, Kitty, but we must all fuck off now.
Oh, fuck right off.
Thank you so much for coming on. We've had such good conversations today. Thank you for opening up about your body image and like the history like with your relationship. That was so interesting to hear.
Thank you. I'm glad I can be a part of it, and I love what you're doing. Keep killing it. Thanks. Both of you. And
thank you.
Said some good shit today, guys. I think we all need a round of applause, a pat on the back, and a sip of a queef.
What is a sip of a queef?
That was a really good sip.
So where can our listeners find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at @KittyUnderhillX. So that's my name with a kiss on the end. I like to think of it that way.
Or a bumhole.
Someone
told me about this recently. I was like, X is a bumhole.
Oh, I thought it was so bracket cute. X bracket.
Oh, whatever. All bumholes look different.
Well, so Kitty Underhill with a bumhole on the end, apparently.
I've got a bumhole too, as in on my Instagram.
Oh, you do? Yes. I always thought it was a kiss. So you can find me there. You can also find me on Twitter at the same username. You can also look me up on Facebook, Kitty Underhill Plus Model. Yeah, those are all my channels, I believe.
Amazing. Yeah, check that shit out.
Definitely go and follow.
Super sexy. Guys, thanks so much for listening. It's been incredible. Please rate our shit and do the comment thing and share it all to people that need to listen to this crap, as well as if anyone's ever laughed at your queef, send this shit to them. See what they say.
Subscribe.
Queef positivity, guys.
And do send us your sex stories and sex questions for our other podcasts.
Yes, just DM us on our Instagram, which is at @comecurious. C-O-M-E curious.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.